Hey, Peebles, this is the Conspiracy Odds Podcast. I'm your host, Mick Raven. It is Wednesday, the 20th of December, 2023. This is a review covering alternative news and events. You can call +61 02 8006 1918 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com. Get with the D program. Now, continuing with the COVID rats of Oz, we've had another one do a run-up. This is from the Northern Territory. This is Natasha Files. Now, a lot of people might not know the name, but she was there when Gunner did a runner. That's how she got the top job. But just kept pushing the same narrative anyway and not really changing anything about what they were doing to people during that terrible time, not that long ago, where people were locked down and couldn't move about like human beings. They were more like trapped rats. Well, now we see the rats on the other side of the fence doing a runner. Now that we've seen the COVID hoax for what it actually really is, and that was a control mechanism from day one, and if they had collateral damage, so be it. So I put up the title on conspiracyoz.com, Another COVID Rat Runs. Now, people are going, no, she didn't run. She was kicked out. Oh, yeah. But that's the point. When these rats want to run, they find something that can actually get swing the door open and let them go. And then you feel bad for them. But in retrospect, she's probably getting death threats too. Actually, I'll see if she did, because she was around the same time as Gunner. And she took over from him when he did a runner. And I'm just going to just check, because these people really did get hounded, all of them. That's why they've all gone. So I'm not surprised that even the second in charge that took over, just like Dominic Perrottet took over from Gladys Berejiklian, you don't see the same sort of pattern again. I'll have a look. One sec. Okay, it doesn't look like she copped any death threats, but she did cop a pie in the face. And I do remember when Files copped the piles in the face, and that woman was prosecuted, but I think she's on bail. It says, NT Chief Minister Natasha Files in pain following alleged aggravated assault with pancake. Sorry, pancake people. At the Nightcliff Markets. 25th of September 2023. So not that long ago. Maybe that's why she resigned. The pie was just a little bit too much to take. It says, Northern Territory Chief Minister Natasha Files said she will not be deterred from being out in the community despite an alleged violent assault against her in Darwin. It says, the Labor leader's comments come after a 56-year-old Palmerston woman was on Monday charged with aggravated assault over the incident at Nightcliff Markets in which Ms. Files was hit in the face with a cream-covered pancake. So speaking to media on Monday, Ms. Files said she had taken a firm whack in the face and would be seeking medical treatment. I was a little bit of a discomfort yesterday and this morning, but I'm okay. I'm back at work and I'll get on with it, she said. And it says, to whack someone in the face like that, I'll call it for what it is, a violent assault. Early in the day, she told NT Commercial Radio Mix 104.9 she was in a bit of pain and had a bruised eye. But Ms. Files said despite the incident, she would continue to get out in the community and speak to members of the public. And it says, I'm always up for a conversation. I'm always up for a tough conversation. Well, it seems like she won't be having any of those conversations now, people, because she's done a runner, just like Gunner. Nothing else to say there. Oh, except the fact that the woman that was annoyed with her that went to the trouble of putting a pie in her face was to do with COVID restrictions. So I'll leave it at that. So you can find the pie story attached to the main story with another COVID rat runs. And it's all because she had shares in guess who, people? It was in Woodside. That's an Australian company that's apparently waiting in the wings. Well, I don't know if they still are, but they were waiting for the gas from Gaza to flow towards them and other companies that are all salivating over the fact that the Palestinians will soon be out of that country, what's left of it, and the Israelis can go and get the gas. And they were one of the companies that was standing by. I don't know if they still are, but she had shares in that company. Funny that. Now, I just want to mention too that if you're watching the news lately like I am, like a hawk, not because the news is good or the news is even true half the time, no. It's because of the gold. Every time they do the news, they'll do the weather and they go through finance. And when they get to finance, that's when I run to the phone and I take a picture, a screenshot of what's happening with the gold as it goes skyrocketing up. Because that's exactly what's happened. And I've been telling people for a long time to watch the gold because that's your indicator. Now, that's not a good thing. It's a bad thing because it means that globalists are, and people in general are buying up gold because something big is about to break. So if you go to conspiracy.com like I have, and you go to the right-hand side of the widget bar of the website, and you just look down a bit on the right-hand side, you'll see gold. It's entitled gold, and what it is, it's abcbullion.com.au, which just has a chart on there, and it's updated all the time, so that's why I grab it. All the gold charts are roughly the same. There might be slight delays, but basically this one's fairly up to date. And it's reading as I look at it now, it says the 20th of the 12th, $2,044 an ounce. Now, that means it is not going back down, people. This is what I've been trying to tell you for a long time now, that it's been climbing. Ever since the pandemic took hold, gold has been up and down from 2,000 since. But I say now it's going to keep climbing because it's a slow trajectory, and then it's going to skyrocket. That's your indicator the recession is going to hit really hard, lots of collapses, and then the controllers of the fourth industrial revolution will then bring in the universal basic income to rescue all the fallen employers with their businesses. And also the bankruptcies have gone through the roof, as I said before, too. So these are your two indicators that I've been looking at for quite a long time, as listeners would know. And if you go to the bankruptcies now, which is just below the gold widget on conspiracyoles.com, you'll see that there it says October 907. So that was, and I'll just get the, I think I read this out last week, but I'll just read it out again, just so you can see how they jimmy the statistics, because they've actually got November at 527. These are major bankruptcies. These are like big businesses going under in that month in Australia. But what they previously said October was, as they're doing to November now, was this total. And it reads, this is on the chart from before, it's got 721 September, and this was back in the 5th of November when I copied the chart, when I did a print screen of it, and it shows October at 397 bankruptcies. So now, if you look at the chart, it will show, well, like 722, so they've changed that one. They must have not looked back at the old one for September 2023, but they've got October as 907 major bankruptcies in 2023. Yet the chart before, back on the 5th of November, stated that October had 397. So were they still collating the figures to go up three times or almost double before they released it to the public? And so now they've got November at 527 major bankruptcies. We'll see what that happens now, when December is done, and then they reconfigure November to be probably triple what it is. It's absolutely unparalleled that they are really rigging these statistics as hard as they can to keep business confidence up before a massive collapse. So there it is there, people. It's showing you in black and white what is happening with the bankruptcies and gold. These are two very big indicators. Now, people can keep ignoring it, but I'm telling you, 2024 is going to be the year of collapse worldwide. This is when they bring in pandemic 2 and try to crush all dissenters. This is where you have to be the strongest you've ever been. They were touting about a Chinese new virus coming through, and it was called, wait for it, people, walking pneumonia. I mean, I'm laughing, and it is laughable, but they are not going to stop. And by the way, I'm nearly finished Alex Jones's book, The Great Reset, which is really just what I can tell what he's doing in the book is he's read Klaus Schwab's Great Reset, and it's more of a commentary about that book. So he's, you know, I mean, he's putting in his normal things that he talks about, but he's really using that as a to bounce off. But still, it's a really, really good read. It's taken me a long time to get through it because I haven't had the time. But once you pick it up and start reading it, you can see that he's referring to Klaus a lot. He doesn't have a great love for the guy, but that's an obvious thing. But yeah, it's definitely worth reading if you want to get a handbook into the New World Order for what's coming, because he's been through hell, people. If anyone's been through more hell, it's Alex Jones. just for standing on a platform with a megaphone trying to get people to wake up. And he's been doing it a lot longer than a lot of people, so he does have the history behind him. It's just that, as I said, like anyone, if they get you with one skeleton in the closet, it just about defames you for the rest of your life. And that's what they're trying to get him in. They're trying to hook him with Sandy Hook, the shooting that was at the Newtown School in the US, where he claimed that kids weren't killed and there were child actors in there. And you've got to be really careful about that sort of stuff, because they may have tipped him off to think it was that, and he's gone and jumped on it, and that's exactly what they wanted him to do. So you got to be very careful. Your false flags are everywhere. They can be tiny and massively in your face. So in his case, he's still waving the American flag for nationalism, which is one of the globalist hates, and still pointing out from his point of view what is happening on that side of the world. And that's why everyone that's in their own neck of the woods should get on the platform now, the digital platform, and say something. The more of us that do this, the harder it is to knock us all down, you see. And it's just going to wake up the average person that had no idea that terrible things could be planned like this, where there are other people on the planet who know better than you. Regardless of their background, they just have a lot more clout because they have a lot more cash. And also sign the Save the Cash petition too on the left-hand side of the widget bar while you're on the right-hand side. Flip to the other side and just jump on that and sign the petition. We've got to keep cash alive. It's the last bastion of truth left that you can keep freedom afloat. Because once they take that off you, then you really are working for the globalists, like directly. And they can actually knock you off the pedestal a lot quicker that way too, because they can just turn off your cash flow, as it was, the digital one. And lots of terrible things would come into play. And this is why it needs to be stopped now before it gets to that point. It's a bit like Nazi Germany in World War II when Poland was invaded. And they didn't think anything was going to change too much until they realized that they were really there, not just to expand to, I think it's called Lebensraum or whatever it is, where they expand to take more land. It was also to expel the people that were there because of what? Because of their religion. That's what happened. So you don't ever want to go down that sort of path of totalitarianism that, you know, tells you one thing to the people that think it's a good thing and then does another thing. So this is it. And as I said, these people are wolves in sheep's cardigans, talking about Bill Gates and his mates and Klaus Schwab and his mates. They all think they're part of an elite class that, you know, their feet don't touch the ground while they're floating around Mount Olympus as gods. It's ridiculous, people. They're just human beings. They will die like the rest of us. I think they won't, but they will. Sorry, Bill, to burst your bubble, mate, but that's really what you've got to look forward to probably another 20 years, and we'll be rid of you as well. So in the meantime, people, we have to stay vigilant for the future of the planet and the people that are on it. We don't want these guys running around, extinguishing life left, right and center because they feel like it, and then telling you it's climate change, when in actual fact, most of, say, in Sydney, or say Australia, I should say, not just Sydney, where I am, but in Australia, we have what is called a sunburnt country. And people know it for that. And it's very interesting, and if you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, you'll see what I'm talking about. If you go, and you'll see one of the main stories I put up is stop the arsonists and you stop the bushfires. This is correct. And this is something a lot of people have been touting and talking about. And of course, the mainstream media will say, oh, it's just disinformation. When we claim that a lot of these arsonists, a lot of them are nuts and they're ex-fireys or they might be fireys at volunteers and whatnots. There are these people. They've always been around for a very long time. But something has happened. We've had so many bushfires over the last few years since the pandemic that something is not right. And it's got myself and plenty of other people online thinking, hang on, is this a bit like COVID where they introduce a pandemic, where they have a virus suddenly leak in China that was funded by the American government, suddenly leaks in China and causes a worldwide panic? Okay, they also had military operations here. Every army around the world was in Wuhan at the time. So funny. Then they had Event 201, leaving off the 9, with Bill Gates telling everyone there is going to be a pandemic and this is what we should do. And then, of course, it happened. So it makes you wonder that the same thing isn't happening with the weather, where they go around and say, well, we've got, floods everywhere and, we've had Lismore in New South Wales flood out and all those feral people need to go because that's going to be a smart city in 2036. Look it up. So they've cleaned them all out. Hard for them to get their money back from all the houses because they're still waiting. And now Cairns is flooded, another area where they've cleaned it up. But, of course, it's just the weather. These things happen, and they do. But if they won't stop geoengineering, then this won't occur. You know what I mean? We used to have normal weather that was predictable. Now we don't. Okay? And I remember it was not that long ago, where you had 15 or so years ago, where you had people like, I'm trying to remember his name, Tim Flannery, telling us that all the dams were going to dry up all across Sydney and around Australia, all dry up because global warming was here to stay. Well, isn't it funny how the dams did not dry up and that they murfed global warming into climate change? And the climate has always changed. So now they can blame people breathing out on floods and storms. So they're going hard with their geoengineering people and their weather weapons to make sure that you're convinced that that's exactly what's happening. And of course, then you'll believe them because it's called the Hegelian dialectic. They create the problem, they create the solution, and that's the end result. So it doesn't surprise me that people are saying that a lot of the bushfires are deliberately lit by arsonists, but there's a catch. What type of arsonist? You got the crazies. You've got people that light the fire and then suddenly, Hegelian dialectic in brackets, run back and put the fire out and become a hero. That happens to people. But then you've got another potential type of fire bug. And I'm talking about the ones that believe in climate change so much that they would actually light a fire and then say climate change did that. And people breathing out is causing it. And that's what my angle is, people. I've got stop the arsonists and you stop the bushfires. See, they're not even, the police reports come out and they know there's more than 50 to 60% of fires that are deliberately lit. They know it because they do the police reports. It's part of what they do as a job. So they know it more than anyone, but the news about it is suppressed. Okay? So what I did is I put up a whole lot of stories about major fires deliberately lit in the last 5 months, all across Australia. So if you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, you'll see the story I put up is stop the arsonists and you stop the bushfires. And it says in all in the last 5 months. So the first story it's got, well, I'll start at the bottom and I'll work my way up. But this is unbelievable. This is where people really need to wake up and realise that there is a big agenda here. So the first story is Kimberley cattle stations. Indigenous rangers exhausted by bushfire arson. That's on the 31st of August 2023. So there's only excerpts. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says the blaze has chewed through 17,000 hectares of fertile black soil, grassland, and red spinifex country, destroying habitats of native animals such as the bridled nail-tail wallaby and the black-breasted button quail. And it was deliberately lit. Now, there you go. It's like 5 months ago. Then you got 31st of August 2023. Volunteer RFS firefighter charged with lighting Hunter Valley fires that he later helped put out. It says a teenage volunteer firefighter has been refused bail after he was charged with deliberately lighting several fires in the New South Wales Hunter Valley and then returning to help put them out. So we know what those two were all about. The cattle one gets me worried because I know that the greenie globalists, all the climate change pushers want to get rid of cattle. Why? Because they emit methane, which is apparently really evil. So it doesn't surprise me that they are trying to get rid of the cattle as well. So it's got here next story. This came out on the 27th of September, 2023. Jury finds former volunteer firefighter, guilty of lighting several bushfires in the Adelaide Hills that destroyed two homes. Now, all these stories, I'll just let you know, they're all from the ABC as far as I can remember. So I'm just looking back at the last three I just read, all abc.net.au. So this story says, a Country Fire Service CFS volunteer of more than 30 years has been found guilty by a district court jury of lighting several bushfires in the Adelaide Hills while drunk on a day of extreme heat in January 2021. So right in the middle of the pandemic, this guy runs out and starts bushfires, and he's been a firefighter volunteer for 30 years, people. How many other fires he lit back in those days that we don't know about it? So it says Gregory John McGannon, 63, was found guilty of 7 counts of causing a bushfire and 1 count of driving dangerously to escape police pursuit after a jury deliberation of almost 4.5 hours. The fires near Cherry Gardens, Bradbury and Kangrilla destroyed 2 homes and burnt 2,700 hectares of scrub and grasslands. McGannon lit the bushfires on an extreme weather day, and it took 300 firefighters to contain the blazes and protect homes. There you go, people. The next story is Kings Park reopened to public as firefighters bring suspicious bushfires under control. 24th of October 2023. It says police said the cause of the fires was being treated as suspicious, with emergency services saying early indications were that there were 5 separate ignition points in the park. It's always in parks, people. They snuck in there and they light multiple fires to do multiple damage. And then, of course, they blame the environment, say people breathing out, and it's climate change. So the next story is 4th of November 2023, so almost up to date. In the midst of a deadly Queensland bushfire season, why would anyone light one deliberately? This is, I'll just say, I can say who the stories are from, abc.net.au. The last story was also abc.net.au. And the one before that was abc.net.au as well. Oh, and I did miss a story there. There was a resolve from the Kings Park fire being treated as suspicious as images show bushland damage. 25th of October 2023, also abc.net.au. It says police believe several fires were deliberately lit in the park, with emergency crews battling to bring them under control. It says early indication is that those fires all occurred within the space of about an hour. Someone went around crazy with a box of matches, people. Anyway, back to the other story I was saying, 4th of November 2023. In the midst of a deadly Queensland bushfire season, why would anyone light one deliberately? It says, under the blackened ground of more than 1,000 fires that have scorched Queensland over the past 2 weeks, are the clues that investigators will use to determine what or who started them. It says, this week, police on the Gold Coast charged a 17-year-old girl with 4 counts of arson. She is due to face court next week. On the Sunshine Coast, police believe recent bushfires that threaten homes and residents were started on purpose. It says 2 of the recent blazes forced people to flee their houses as fires fanned by high winds repeatedly broke containment lines. And earlier this year in Tara, a region that in recent weeks has lost more than 60 homes and 2 lives to a devastating fire, police charged 2 men over 9 separate fires from January and February. It says research suggests up to 90% of all bushfires in Australia are caused by humans, often by accident. It says a report from the Australasian Fire Authorities Council in 2010, that was quite a long time ago, people, estimated 60% of bushfires had a known cause. It found half of those were likely to have been deliberately lit. See, now that's a 2010 one. They really need to start updating their statistics, because there's a lot more fire bugs now than ever, especially since the climate change hoax took hold. So it's got, then I've got one here that's actually backdated to the 24th of October, 2023. It says police investigating suspicious fires near Rockhampton during central Queensland heatwave. I'm trying to do these in order, but I've just realised I put a story up out of order. It says a strike force has been formed to investigate what sparked a significant bushfire on the New South Wales mid-north coast last week, with its origins believed to be suspicious. Both these stories I just said were abc.net.au. It said it burned through more than 3,000 hectares of land in the Hathead National Park. Another park, people. It certainly appears to be a deliberate ignition. Detectives from the New South Wales Police's Financial Crime Squad Arson Unit, that's a big name, have launched Strike Force Toronto as investigations continue into the circumstances surrounding the blaze. It says Detective Inspector O'Reilly described the situation as incredibly dangerous and warned that anyone found guilty of deliberately lighting a bushfire could face more than 20 years in jail. Haven't caught anyone. I don't know anyone that's gone to jail for 20 years for lighting a fire. So it's not really a deterrence, is it, people? So it says here, 2nd of November 2023, I think it's abc.net.au. Yes, it is. Northern Territory land managers demand action on deliberately lit fires as 13 million hectares burnt. That's right, people. More than 13 million hectares of Northern Territory land has gone up in flames in the past 2 months. The extent of country burnt has not been seen in more than a decade, with close to 80% of the Northern Territory expected to burn by March 2024. It says, while fire is a common element of the Northern Territory's landscape, the sheer number of fires burning at the same time has many people asking how they started. Some fires have been accidentally sparked by graders or other vehicles, but many are believed to have been deliberately lit. That's what I've been saying, people. Still nothing happens, but they just write the stories up, they go up, people nod their head and move on. And yet Australia burns more than it ever has. And it's not climate change. It says, next story, 2nd of November 2023, New South Wales fires around Gulgong, Yulan, Cope, Cook's Gap investigated by police, RFS amid fears they were deliberately lit. abc.net.au. Residents in the area have raised concerns that blazes may have been deliberately lit. It's really frustrating because they're not just roadside fires, they're fires in the back of people's properties, which means someone has to be getting access, Mr. Hendricks said. I wonder if that's because Gunner and Natasha Files didn't do enough for climate change, people. Who knows? And by the way, it was not Jimi Hendricks, it was just a person that was interviewed about the fires in that article, because I've taken excerpts, remember, I've not got the whole article, I'm just putting out what I think needs to be said. And he says, you think it would be pretty easy to figure out who is lighting them, but no one seems to know. No one really wants to talk about it. And he says, I'm angry that someone could be deliberately lighting these and putting our homes and lives in at risk. So obviously he's a neighbour that's had a fire go off. And he goes on to say, the natural fires that start are worrisome enough, but you've got the added stress of someone potentially coming in and lighting fires. It's just, I don't really have words, to be honest. I do. It's called fire bugs and it's called for the environment. Now, the next one is 21st of November 2023, abc.net.au. Bushfire victims tell of terror of Cherry Gardens blaze deliberately lit by former CFS volunteer. Now, this is the same story that was where the fellow was charged before. It says residents left devastated by the Adelaide Hills bushfire crisis 3 years ago have confronted the firebug in court, telling the former Country Fire Service volunteer of their grief and terror at seeing their homes and land destroyed. The former CFS volunteer of 30 years was found guilty by a district court jury in September of 7 counts of causing a bushfire. That's it, people. So the next one is 15th of November, obviously out of order again, 2023, abc.net.au. It says police investigate cause of suspicious Maguire's Crossing bushfire on the New South Wales mid-north coast. Remember, people, these are only the ones that are reported too. So it says residents of a small central Queensland township have described fires believed to be suspiciously lit as devastating for the local community. Police are investigating after firefighters were called to 8 fires at the caves near Rockhampton on Tuesday night. And they're moving up, almost up to date now, 18th of December 2023. And I think that is, and it is, abc.net.au. It says, Geraldton man charged over fires that burned in Western Australia mid-west region. says police have charged a 25-year-old man from the Geraldton suburb of Spalding with threats to kill and two counts of breach of duty in relation to the fires, and will allege all the fires were related to the same person. Says more than 100 firefighters with the support of the Department of Fire and Emergency Water Bombers worked through the night to extinguish the fires, which burned up to 2,000 hectares of land, caused power lines to collapse and transport routes to be closed. Mr. Messina said as many as 15 separate fires were started, including several that put homes at risk. So here you go. You want to stop the bushfires, stop the arsonists, people. You want to add up all the hectares that have been burned from these arsonists, just from the stories that I've read. Plenty more stories. I didn't put them all up. And you'll see just how big this problem is. Okay? And they go on about climate change causing the bushfires. So it says here, I think this is the final article, and it is, 19th of December 2023, abc.net.au. It says, the Kimberley Pilbara Cattlemen's Association calls for arson squad to be sent to Western Australia's north. A survey undertaken by the Kimberley Pilbara Cattlemen's Association found that more than 2.3 million hectares of land had been burnt across the two regions since 2020 as a result of arson. Chief Executive Bron Christensen said the fires had caused more than $44 million in damage to land and infrastructure. But she said the key problem raised in the survey was the lack of governmental response to fires on cattle stations. Ms. Christensen said more than 4,000 cattle were estimated to have died in the northern WA bushfires in the past 3 years. Say something to you people? Starting to see a pattern? She said the blazes also represented a significant threat to native wildlife and the area's people and towns. And I say it again, people, stop the arsonists and you stop the bushfires. Now, if you go to conspiracyoz.com like I have, you'll see I did put the story up called Still Listening to the Experts? It's about the COVID rats. But not the story I'm talking about at the moment. I will continue the podcast with another three from the COVID class of COVID-19, which is growing as I speak. But this is another one. There's some faces on there I hadn't actually targeted for the class. I don't think they made the grade, but they're still part of the whole cabal of Australian government and corporate officials, all sorts of people that sort of pointed the finger at the general public and said, it's all your fault. Lock down and stop breathing. That sort of contingency. So it says, still listening to the experts, question mark. And then I've got hot air rising. And so what I've done is I put up faces that are part of the comments that I read out last week. So you'll see Dr. Gates in there with a question mark, Professor Easterman, Professor Bennett. These are all people that have been stated in those articles below. You've got a Dr. Paul Griffin, but they're all pushing the COVID hoax, people. Assistant Professor James Troyer, Dr. Christine Selvey, Dr. Jeremy McAnulty. There it is, McAnulty, got it. Dr. Michael Bonning, Associate Professor Holly, and Dr. Alicia Johnson, Professor Paul Kelly, and Dr. Christian McGrath, all touting the COVID hoax during those terrible times, and still saying it. They haven't stopped people. But I just thought I'd mention it. Go and have a quick squiz at it. I mean, it's what I spoke about last week, so it's almost like a transcript, but it's there. It says straight from the horse's mouth what they say, people. And you can see, and I'm also looking back to in the past 3 years to see what these people have said, because some of them are still holding to their belief that they're right. You know, wear the mask, wash the hands, take the RAT test, all that sort of stuff. You know, social distance, they're still saying it. Even though people have thrown all that bogus stuff over their shoulder, there's some people still doing it. But the general public have in Australia, I do say in Australia, have had enough. Okay? So I just thought that maybe some of these politicians are all doing runners because Australians have had enough and they don't want to hear it anymore. Okay? And also I attached also down the bottom more advice, you know, from the experts, where it says another COVID-19 wave is coming. And here's how case numbers are trending and who needs a booster. It's like, this is abc.net.au, came out on the 3rd of November 2023. Then you've got fresh COVID wave threatens Christmas for the third year in a row. Also abc.net.au, 2nd of November 2023. So you can see that they were trying to wind up the rhetoric, but it's just not taking hold anymore. People got wise. Social media has actually helped people to hear about what is right and what is wrong now. Even though I do not agree with social media, and I do not, because of the disinformation from the prostitute media, because they have more control in it, it has let people communicate worldwide in real time to even discuss things they're not allowed to discuss, because of course they get kicked off straight away, but at least they have a go. And there's a lot more people like that now. A lot more people have realised that it's really people power that has the power, not social media, not the government, not corporations, and certainly not Bill Gates and his mates. So without much ado, the COVID rats, part four. The COVID rats of Oz, that is. So the first cab off the rank is the ex-Premier of Queensland, Anastasia Palaszczuk, who held the reins all through the COVID pandemic, has now done a run of people. So I'm just going to go onto Wikipedia and go down to where it says COVID-19 pandemic, because it actually says something on this time, people. It's got Queensland detected its first positive case of COVID-19 on the 28th of January 2020. A day later, Palaszczuk declared a public health emergency. The state recorded its first death from the virus on the 13th of March. So she jumped the gun. It says Palaszczuk announced lockdown measures and state border closures from the 23rd of March. As confirmed cases follow, the worldwide trend of skyrocketing non-essential services were banned from operating. Schools and universities were shut down as the curve began to flatten. Palaszczuk proceeded to gradually ease restrictions from late April, with Queensland easing most coronavirus restrictions by July. It says the most controversial part of the pandemic restrictions were state border closures. After being lifted to all bar Victoria in July, the border was shut to New South Wales and the ACT again in early August after a small spike in cases in these areas. The state border closures met prominent criticism from New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, the ACT Chief Minister Andrew Barr, and the Prime Minister Scott Morrison. It says, particularly after a Canberra woman was denied entry into Queensland to attend her father's funeral. Borders were gradually lifted as cases began to ease in New South Wales and Victoria until full border openings to the states on the 1st of December. It says, despite criticism of the state border closures from outside sources, Palaszczuk recorded high approval ratings amongst Queensland voters, recording 65% satisfaction on one news poll. Remember, it's only 1,000 people. It says, during the COVID-19 pandemic, Palaszczuk announced and passed legislation for a public servant wage freeze to start from the beginning of the financial year, with Palaszczuk claiming it was necessary for future job security and creation. It says, the Greens and the LNP opposed the freeze, with Shadow Treasurer Tim Mander declaring the situation a debacle. So that's all they say. That's it. Doesn't say just briefly about the lockdown. So there you go. But it says, just flicking through the Wikipedia really quickly, it says, during the 2020 election campaign, Palaszczuk announced her government would legalize euthanasia. So I'm just, this is a full-on minion for the globalist agenda, for sure, people. But anyway, it doesn't say much else. That's all it says. But anyway, she's one of the last to go now. So this is just very, very interesting that it's a clean slate, almost complete. There's still a few left, but not as many now than before. There's just about all bailed. So the reason that she's bailed, and this is what she says. Actually, I'll just read what she says in the Wikipedia. It says, on the 10th of December 2023, Palaszczuk announced her resignation as Premier. She resigned as Premier on the Friday, the 15th of December, and will leave Parliament at the end of December. So she'll be virtually gone in a week or so, people. Gone for good. Now let's find out why she really went. Actually, I'll just read this bit too. It's from theguardian.com. It's just about her resignation. It says, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk retires from politics. I just read through it and I just found something interesting that she was talking about the last of the people left from the pandemic era. And it says, Palaszczuk said she had also spoken to another pandemic era premier, former Western Australian leader Mark McGowan, Mr. Magoo, and he's gone, before she announced her decision. It says, the Queensland Premier's resignation means the ACT Chief Minister Andrew Barr is the last remaining state or territory leader from the peak pandemic period. So that's another guy I've got to look at. So he's still around by the sound of it, still hanging on to those reins as the last person left holding the COVID class of 19 banner high with the word hoax in brackets. So it's got... the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, described Palaszczuk as a Labor hero, a champion for Queensland. So let's find out why. She's saying in that article that she's quit because she was on holidays recently and she was hounded by the media and she thought it was time to go. And it says, the recently elected Victorian Premier Jacinda Allan said Palaszczuk showed a generation of young girls that female leadership is not only possible, but entirely normal. So that's the one that replaced Dangerous Dan in Victoria. So we got a whole new bunch of people coming through to sort of completely divert you away from what actually happened in that 3 years. It's they cannot be forgotten. I mean, what they've done is just never going to ever repair because so many lives were damaged during those 3 years. And these are the people that made the rules as they were instructed to by the WHO from Greg Hunt, the former federal health minister, all the way down to his minions. These politicians were actually instructed by the health department on what to do. And this is why they're entwined in that 3 years, the health departments and the governments and corporations sitting just behind that with the big bucks. So you can see that it's all acting in lockstep, and the full agenda is outside that in the WEF, which is the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and the full cabal at the top like that. But the World Health Organization now has the reins because they created a new treaty, they call it, where something like 190 countries have signed up to let them control the next pandemic. So it won't be a Greg Hunt or a federal health minister. It'll actually be people that are not even in Australia that will be dictating what happens in each country. That's how dangerous the next one's going to be. With Bill Gates telling you that pandemic two, you will notice it. So that, what she was talking about earlier about a photographer filming her overseas having a holiday, that was from abc.net.au. Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk requests privacy after media photographed her on holidays in Italy. And you're thinking, so what? That 30th of August 2023. It says the Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has asked for privacy from the media as she holidays in southern Italy while ministerial colleagues continue to dismiss speculation about the future of her leadership. So there you go. Even back in August, there were people claiming that yeah, maybe she should go. It says Miss Palaszczuk is on leave overseas with her partner, Brisbane surgeon Dr. Reza Adib, who is due to speak at an international medical conference in Naples. So that's why they were there. The Premier had been tracked down and photographed on her trip by News Corp newspapers and reportedly asked about rumblings of internal dissatisfaction from Labor colleagues. So it sounds like that could be the real reason, people. In a statement on social media, Ms. Palaszczuk asked the media to respect her privacy while she's on leave for 2 weeks. She says, I'm on leave. Everyone is entitled to leave, she said. I asked that the media respect my privacy. Stephen Miles is acting premier. I return on September the 11th. Well, that's an interesting date, isn't it? And he did become premier. And reading on, he says, Mr. Miles has rejected speculation that Ms. Palaszczuk is losing support and risks being pressured to stand aside as premier before the next election, dismissing it as rumours and gossip. He said the reports of the photos were disgraceful. It's the guy that actually got the job. It says, no one deserves to be harassed or have their privacy invaded by photographers when they're on leave, he said in the post to social media. She deserves to spend time with her loved ones once in a while. And she came back and quit, and he got the job. It just makes you wonder, was it rigged like that? Who knows, people? But that's the reality of what happened. So I'm just checking the death threats to Anastasia Palaszczuk now. And when I did the search, every link, pages of links about death threats, things like, I think I'll go right to the bottom. It's just the first page, but it's got, it just keeps going. Actually, there's a recent article from thecourier.com.au that says Anastasia Palaszczuk faces a fight of her political life, not the real life, she's not threatened just yet, to retain power and make good her pledge to serve a full term if re-elected Queensland Premier. So this is one of the main reasons she went. And it says, Mrs. Palaszczuk and opposition leader Dava Crisafulli foreshadowed their year-long election campaigns this week for October the 26th, 2024 poll. So she did not intend to go, people. The Premier is battling poor polling and has dipped below Mr. Crisafulli as preferred leader for the first time. So that's one of the main reasons she got the fleck. So there you go. That's it. But let's go and see. Let's check those death threats now, people. Another reason why she wants to do a runner. Well, the death threat started early, people, with her, during the pandemic, of course. This is September the 14th, 2020. Now, this is hard to find, this article. There's a few on it, but I just thought I'd grab this one. It was from a Japanese publication online, which is sort of funny. It looks like it's called the Manichi. Manichi.jp. It says, Australian official under police guard over virus measures. So this is another person I'll be talking about, another COVID rat. This is the Jeanette Young, who was the Queensland State Chief Health Officer at the time. But it's not about her. The article is about her getting the death threat. But then it's got an incident that Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Queensland Premier, had done. And it said, this was a woman called Sarah Cassip, had wanted to reach her father's deathbed. This is during the lockdowns, people, in Queensland, but didn't get a permit to travel from her home in Canberra. This is to go into Queensland, and she blocked it. Anastasia Palaszczuk blocked this. It's why she's got death threats later. And it says, didn't get a travel permit to travel from her home in Canberra until 2 days after he died. This is her father. She wanted to visit her father who was sick and wasn't allowed to travel through there. And it says, and then Canberra had not had a coronavirus case in more than 2 months at the time. So it says, Prime Minister Scott Morrison had made a personal appeal to Palaszczuk on the day of the funeral for Cassip to be allowed to attend, an approach that the state premier described as intimidation and bullying. It says Brisbane lawyer James Stevens took up on the campaign again on Palaszczuk on Sunday by paying for the plane to fly to the state capital in Brisbane from neighbouring Gold Coast, towing a banner that said she is heartless. Stevens said he was prepared to fly the banner every week until Palaszczuk's government seeks re-election on October the 31st. So there you go. People were very angry. That was just one incident of the sort of lockdowns that these people did to people. There's other things that men said in the story as well, but that was sort of the catalyst, I'd say. So here's a death threat in the early days. By the way, you can never get the story on it because it's with all these Prestige Media publications that want you to subscribe. So on skynews.com.au, it says, man charged with making death threats against Palaszczuk and her chief health officer. Queensland man has been charged after allegedly making death threats against Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk and Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young. A 43-year-old Gold Coast man, has been charged with one count of using a carriage service to make a threat to kill, which allegedly stemmed from Sarah Cassip's case, who pleaded with the state government to attend her father's funeral. The 26-year-old's request was denied, but she was instead permitted to view his body in private. I mean, this is the sort of stuff that gets people's backs up, especially after the event. I wonder if she's done a runner. That's one. Let's find another one. Okay, this is from dailymail.co.uk, and it came out on, let's see if I get the date, the 6th of March 2021, so after the other event. She says, I was vulnerable. Is it worth getting killed? polarising Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk opens up on why she nearly quit the state's top job. But she didn't. She still stuck around, people. Says Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk still remembers the moment she received death threats and was trolled online, forcing her to consider quitting the state's top job. But she didn't, did she? Palaszczuk, 51, has spoken out about how she managed Queensland COVID-19 response and the intense backlash that followed in an interview. The Queensland Premier revealed that during the height of the pandemic, she received death threats when delivering the state's strict COVID-19 border rules. It says, Palaszczuk, the granddaughter of Nazi war camp survivor, was provided around-the-clock protection, and her movements were strictly limited for a time, forcing her to reconsider walking down to the local shops. It says, luckily, the Premier received support from her cabinet and family, but said she still felt vulnerable as the online messages became vile and violent. So there you go. So I'm not going to read any more. You can see that even back then, she still hung on. Didn't scare her. She said, no, I'm going to stay. And she was intending to stay. It's only because she dropped in the polls and obviously the death threats, she decided, yeah, I'm not going to get any protection anymore. I got to get out of here. So she did a runner. But it did take time. She's one of the last to go. There's still the guy in the ACT I have to look up to eventually. So anyway, let's go and see now. And I just want to check out the husband at the time because there's something interesting. I'm just going to see if there's any connection to the COVID hoax and her husband because that's the reason she was in Italy at the time because he was doing a speaking tour in Naples at the time in southern Italy. So I'm just going to see if there's any connection because sometimes there is, but I do know one thing she definitely is connected to. But just let me do this one first, one sec. Now, I did a really pretty thorough check on this fellow. Of course, they never put his real full name in, so you can never do a proper search. And then you've got to look for other stories, like maybe the latest story here that says mother sues Queensland Health and gastric surgeon for alleged negligence after gastric bypass surgery came out on the 9th of November 2023, abc.net.au. This is the guy that she's with. Apparently, they're not married. It's just a relationship that started two years or so ago. Out of thin air, and this guy's a surgeon. And it says, a Brisbane mother has launched legal action against Queensland Health for allegedly unnecessarily removing her gallbladder and misdiagnosing a life-threatening complication of surgery on five occasions. And it says the action is against the Metro North Health Service and gastric surgeon Dr. Vahid Reza Adib. That's the guy that's going out with Anastasia Palaszczuk. So that's all that was on him. He's only brand new. He's just popped up of nowhere. He hasn't got a Wikipedia. Not much out there on him. So maybe a bit of a the wrong way to look, but he seems like he's got his own problems with that that being sued there. But anyway, Anastasia Palaszczuk's father, on the other hand, now that's a can of worms. But I'm going to start with this because this was a big deal at the time. Not so much now because we know the full facts, but it started the whole fake jab. These are all the politicians lining up to get jabbed for COVID. And everyone's saying, well, are they really getting the jab or are they just pretending to get everyone to get the jab? Because Australia was one of the first places to get the jab, like nationally. So it's got here, it was pretty funny. I remember this when it happened too, people. Palaszczuk's fake jab. This is on abc.net.au. Now, it's a video. It says, take two. Queensland Premier reenacts a flu shot for the cameras giving birth to a conspiracy. So, and that was on the 4th of May, 2020. And then, of course, they the broadcast was on the 4th of May, 2020. So what happened at the time? She sat down and got a flu shot. And they're claiming that when the needle was extracted from her arm, everyone could see the cap was still on. So everyone screamed, oh, fake flu shot. But what actually happened is that she had been apparently filmed getting the shot, but they didn't film it correctly so they couldn't see the needle. So they said they had to do the shot again. Now, what gets me is when you look at the next shot or the shot that she's supposed to have gotten the needle, you don't actually, you can see the needle just, but it's still. The whole thing was done really shady, and it's typical of reenactments that these people do for the camera, because it's all about what you see. It doesn't have to be the truth. So that's what started the whole, oh, she's a fake. She never got the shot. Talking about COVID and all that. And everyone started saying they all were like that. Oh, it's not really the COVID injection. We don't know for a fact because we can't see it. And they're all still alive, so maybe they didn't get it. And I'm still trying to track down the first woman, I think it was in the world, to get the COVID-19 jab. It was a woman called Miss Keenan in the UK. This is back in 2020. And I think it was Elizabeth Keenan. I think they used to call her Maggie. And I'm still trying to chase down whether she's still alive. If anyone can find anything on her, send it to conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. And I'll check it out, because I'm just in the process of trying to track that information down. I think up until about a year and a half ago, she was seen. Like we're talking like in the news where they commented on her being like 92 or something and, you know, still alive. The jab didn't kill her. The interesting part is that the nurse that gave her the jab was just awarded at some British ceremony for the hospitals over there, for doing the jab. But there's no sign of Elizabeth Keenan. And I thought that was odd that she wouldn't have been at that event. And then I just can't find anything on her. So I'm just not sure if she's even still alive. And this is what the hunt will be. I'll probably have to leave that for next week. But I still do want to know about that, because it is an interesting thing to know about, that the people that first got jabbed, if they survived or not. Now, the fact is, not everyone gets killed. I shouldn't laugh, but it's the batch. It depends on the batch you were given on whether you're going to have a problem. They're saying that in the US, and this is another conspiracy theory, I haven't checked it, or I just read it and went, oh God, here we go. It was saying that most of the batch numbers that actually did damage were actually sent to Republican states in the US. So I don't know if that's true, people. You hear this stuff and you think, what's the truth anymore anyway? Whether it's alternative media or the press tube media, it's all so hazy. The fact is, you should be allowed to have common sense and choice about what you want to do. And I just felt that the whole COVID thing didn't give us a choice, people. I think that they hounded everyone using the press tube media to do the right thing, where you weren't allowed to choose what you wanted to do. You were actually coerced into it. I think that's wrong, for whatever reason. I think that was wrong. And now they're trying to centralizing control based on that sort of that COVID hoax. So if the next one comes, we will get locked down and we will have a central order, which will be the new world order, which will take control. They seriously will. They'll just take control and we'll probably never go back to normal. That's what I'm most afraid of. That's why I do the podcast. That's why I do what I do. Now, there's other stories related to her. I didn't want to get caught up too long on her. But she was a big fish, and we want to know what she's going to be doing from now on. Now she's hooked up with a Queensland surgeon who's now going to be sued. We want to see what's her plans next. Another holiday to Europe? I'll just go through the headlines quick. I'll just get to what I wanted to talk about, which is her dad, how he's sort of tied to Pfizer. That's a can of worms coming, people. Anyway, this headline says, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says Prime Minister must step up for the cost of the coronavirus hotel quarantine. This is back in January 2021, abc.net.au. This is when she was doing all the lockdowns, people. They had big detention camps. All sorts of stuff was starting to manifest in Queensland, and people up there were not happy. So the next headline is, and here we are, we've come straight to it. Queensland's Premier's father chairs a worldwide foundation of gene sequencing and storage companies. This is from cairnsnews.org, March 9, 2021. It says the Queensland Labor Party government has denied it is a DNA testing and DNA testing and recording thousands of COVID samples taken from Queenslanders since the COVID flu was introduced. It says, but Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has refused to confirm or deny if her father and former state cabinet minister Henry Palaszczuk have been appointed as chairman of a gene testing firm or large group possibly contracted to the government. Cairns News emailed a media request to the Premier in February, but it was ignored. So it's got Cairns News can now confirm that Mr. Palaszczuk actually is chairman of a Singapore-registered and Chinese Gene Technology Alliance Foundation, the GTA. It's got GTA blockchain reports on September the 22nd, 2019. The GTA Gene Data Storage and Application Summit was grandly opened in, looks like, Chaohu City of the An, looks like, Hue province. The event brought together celebrities, Nobel scientists, experts and scholars in the field of gene technology, it says, and data storage, sparking heated discussions as application of genetic big data and AI, gene data encryption and storage, human health and other relevant issues. It says GTA Foundation Chairman Henry Palaszczuk told a world conference of gene technology leaders held in China, by leveraging the unique blockchain incentive mechanism, GTA encourages more individuals to participate in gene sequencing and storage. Isn't that so interesting? This guy is right in the middle of it. Now, let's see if we can find the Pfizer connection, because that's the Chinese connection straight away. It says the participants got together to envision the prospects of genetic technology and unveil the mysteries of life. Mr. Henry Palaszczuk, chairman of the GTA Foundation, made a speech on genetic data storage leads the change of era. So I'm just going to now go through all what happened on that day and who they are and all that in that actual event. And it says, and yeah, it's just got here, fears of unlawful DNA testing of hundreds of thousands of Queensland COVID samples came after it was revealed that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation helped fund a communist Chinese military front company that used COVID testing as a ruse to harvest the DNA of Americans. It should be recognised that reportedly Bill Gates is regularly contacted by the Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Chinese-owned companies have been reported as operating COVID clinics for the state government, which continues the unreliable, unnecessary swab testing of thousands of people at suburban clinics and from border checkpoints a few months ago. So this is, they've obviously gone right into it here. This is like jumping into the can of worms on a different angle and heading straight towards Bill Gates. So I remember CairnsNews.org does this, but I wanted to keep the focus on the Australian politicians involved in this. That's a bigger can of worms. So it looks like the father is definitely involved in genetic manipulation of DNA, which is a big deal, because that's part of the whole Agenda 21 thing / 30, is that they want to go in and redesign people. They want to build people better, but under their guise and under their rules. This is in the future. It's really what they want to do. But we'll come back down to earth and I'll see if I can find what Henry's actual connection to the New World Order is. It doesn't look like he's attached to Pfizer, but I just realized that was Dr. Jeanette Young, and her associate was also attached to Pfizer. So that's another story with one of the other COVID minions. But in the story of the Henry Palaszczuk, I can't really find, I did find one thing that I thought was interesting, but it was a bit of a rant. It was from CairnsNews.org and it was on archive.org as well. And it says, and it's like a, it's more of a timeline of what has happened in the pandemic. And I thought it was interesting. It was still interesting, but it was going too far again into the deep state, going right into it. And it was actually called 2021 Australia Deep State, the Damning Truth of What is Going On in Australia. But it went through a whole list of all, a lot of the COVID people in, involved in what I'm trying to do. Some names in there I didn't know about, but it does get to Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Queensland State Premier, from her father, German-born Heinrich Palaszczuk. So now they call him Henry. So I've got to look into that better, but couldn't find anything else. He was connected to China, and he is part of a gene technology company, and that's as far as it went. So I couldn't find any connection to Pfizer or anyone like that, but that's because it was Dr. Jeanette Young, whose husband is Graham Nimmo from Queensland Pathology, and he's on the, and he was on the Pfizer advisory board. So she's the one that got the death threats with Anastasia Palaszczuk. So a lot of this info would have come to light and made a lot of people pretty angry at the time. A lot of people weren't aware of what the big picture was back then, but a lot of people were thinking that there was something going on, but they couldn't put their finger on it. And a lot of people were pointing the finger at China, calling it the China flu, you know, the Wuhan flu. And this is what really started to be the focus, was actually China caused this and them. Then the focus started to change to our own politicians and corporations in our own backyard. We started seeing the signs that, hang on, this looks like it's in collaboration. This is when, this is what a new world order is. It's not China, it's not America, it's not UK or Australia. It's collaboration of elites from these different countries that don't recognise them as countries, just as a unit, as a unified order, you should say, new world order. So that's really what's happening here. And the minions below that serve those areas of where those leaders are, whether they're corporation or governments, and they're all protected like a cabal. This is what's happening. That's why when the baton gets passed from one premier in New South Wales or Queensland or Victoria, whatever state or territory, and goes to the next one, they're interconnected as well. Whether it's Labor or Liberal Party, doesn't matter, it's a Liberal Party. When people finally get their head around that, they're going to realise that there is a closed section of the community that is untouchable, and that they are trying to control the narrative, whether it's through, and you know, whether it's through the press tube media or not. And these globalists do fight amongst themselves, people. There are a lot of tug of wars going on between them as well. That's what exposes it. That's how we know there's something wrong, when we see these globalists fighting amongst themselves. And that's when the cracks appear. But the bottom line is, and we should never lose focus of, what they really want to do is depopulation. They just want less people on the earth. Okay, it's not about making a buck out of all the people like they did in the past. That's changed. The whole narrative has done a complete about face, and they're looking at us directly, the major populations of the planet, and they want to wipe us away. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because that's, to me, you know, all this finger pointing and that person, this person, and they did this and did that is absolutely irrelevant. It's all part of a giant jigsaw puzzle that is built in the shape of a pyramid, which has the elitists at the top of the peak, and we're just all pieces in the puzzle. So the idea is to name and shame. Yes, we've got to do that. I can only focus on Australia at this stage. I don't want to really jump into, you know, the outside world just yet, because they have their own people that are working on them. And believe me, there's lists of the COVID cohorts from other countries that are constantly being thrown out there into the public arena. And not many people would know about what's happening in Australia. I'm just going to flick through this real quickly, because it does name and shame a lot of people in this article. I can't fully verify it, people, but by naming this, we can actually dig and find out if it's true. So it starts off with, this is very, very interesting. It says, Scott Morrison, this is the former Prime Minister, they're saying in this article, this is the one from archive.org, from cansnews.org, back in November 2021. It says, Scott Morrison protected by Rupert Murdoch. That's very interesting, people. It's saying that Scott Morrison's brother is Alan Morrison, co-deputy chair of Paramedicine Accreditation Committee, which is APRA. It controls GPs' responses to the mRNA and silences any GPs who speak against the experimental gene therapy. That's very interesting. Then it's got Greg Hunt. And it says, Greg Hunt has embraced billionaire Andrew Forrest, also known as Twiggy Forrest, the graphite miner, in partnership with China. Graphene is a superconductor, and it affects the human biology, which is reportedly found in the COVID-19 vaccine. So that's got to be verified. I don't even know if that's true, people. And it's got Scott Morrison and Jane Holton, National COVID-19 Coordination Commissioner, not a medical practitioner, just a bureaucrat. Her tentacles extend to the WHO Chair Executive Board. That's interesting too, people. So these, and it's got the director, which is her husband, is Trevor Sutton, senior in data management. And Trevor Sutton and the husband, she's the husband of Jane Holton. This is the one working for Scott Morrison. I'm just trying to read this as it's written. It's a bit disjointed. But it's more or less saying that Jane Holton, who's married to Trevor Sutton, and people go, well, what's the big deal? Well, the brother of Trevor Sutton is Brett Sutton, who's the Victorian Health Minister, and he's an associate of Bill Gates-funded Burnett Institute. And, of course, the chain goes on. It says Brett Sutton is Victorian Health Minister, a health advisor to Daniel Andrews, the Victorian State Premier, the X one. So this is going on, and then it attaches to Anna Palaszczuk. It goes on to talk about Jeanette Young, Dr. Jeanette Young. Her husband is on the Pfizer advisory board, and it gets to Gladys Berejiklian, and the former New South Wales State Premier resigned due to being under investigation for corruption, stated publicly being manipulated by AstraZeneca and Pfizer and paid tens of millions of dollars by them to promote the vaccination. That has to be verified. I'm not going to say that's true or not. I don't know. And then they've got Kerry Chant, Chief Health Officer and promoter of the New World Order. Oh, that was gold. And true. So I'll get to all those ones I mentioned that I haven't gone into depth yet, and we will do this because there's quite a lot of them, as you can now see from many that I've named. But I just want to stay with the top head honchos that are still in or just being or just done a runner. And of course they're going to be replaced by yes people, because these were the main players in COVID, so they had to be able to stand up to what was coming. They must have been advised on how to tackle it. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no way they would have just went headlong into this abyss, this black abyss called COVID-19, without some advice from the World Health Organization / Bill Gates. They would have had to have a heads up on what was going to happen, which is why Gates did Event 201, which was in October, two or three months before the world went into panic. So, of course, they knew. It's a totally planned thing. Anthony Fauci, the guy who was in charge of the American, sat on top of the medical board in America, was the same guy that oversaw AIDS in the 80s, and it's virtually the same team. So it's a repeat of biological weapons that they've released onto the public for whatever their nefarious purposes are. And in this case, COVID was to get the QR coding going, which it has. It's absolutely jump-started it. And the next pandemic would be to actually kill people. I'd still say this one's going to do it, but it wasn't meant to do it on the first one, simply because everyone would have ran the other way screaming. So they've still got a lot of people that are going to follow through, but a lot of people now are starting to get the picture, which means they're going to have to get onto it soon. If they let it go too much longer, people, not only will they not care, but they're going to be more informed about what's coming around the corner. So this is why they're going to act pretty soon. This is why the gold is rising, bankruptcies are on the... They want to get people ready for the collapse so that you and I and everybody else screams, help us. Now, of course, they're going to help us, all right. The universal basic income will come in to support. Of course, that will run out because it's funded usually by taxpayers anyway. If they lose their jobs, there's no tax. So that's going to be a very quick spiral to the bottom. So you can see that they need people to keep doing what they're doing until the very, very last minute. Then they hit them with the chop. Bit like what happened, what the Nazis did to the Jews in World War II in Poland, where they rounded them up and told them, we're going to send the kids off to a safer place. And we're going to send you guys to work. And working is good. And in the end, that's what they did. They worked them to death. And the kids were all killed. And basically, that was the answer to that. But people believed that it was a better thing that they were doing right up until the last minute. This is what I'm getting at. They're not going to let the cat out of the bag. But, you know, history does tend to repeat itself. So if we look at the signs, you know, that's what he did. Hitler, he rounded them up. He stamped them with a number. He knew who the Jewish people were because he did a census. Well, the same thing's happening now with the digital ID worldwide. They're going to be able to sift out all the agitators, anyone that's not going to go along with it. It won't be too hard for them. And it'll be done very swiftly because digital ID globally, real time, people. It's not going to take long to rubber stamp stuff. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying this is a very dangerous thing. We have all been connected through the internet worldwide. And it's given them this technology to do this. They would not have been able to do this so precisely and in time if it was the old school way with the old filing cabinets and the stamps and the cards. All gone. Replaced by instant data. Now, that doesn't mean the data is good. It means that it could fail. There could be cyber attacks. There's not all the players are playing for the globalists that are on, you've got your white hats. You got your grey hats and your black hats. These are the ones that are inside the web, the dark web, whatever you want to call it, that know how to move around in it. And that those people will be treated like the next line of minions that are going to be used by the globalists to achieve this world domination. So it's going to be a fight in the ether. It always was. But at the same time, the physical world is still going to get hammered. And the way they're doing it initially is biological weapons. And then later on, they probably move to just some sort of incarceration because of quarantining and things like that. Major wars, I don't know. It seems to me that if you have a look at what's happening in Ukraine with Russia and you have a look at what's happening in Israel, the physical thing is still there, but it's a slower process. It takes years and years to for both sides to kill each other off. And as you've seen in the past, even with World War II, that took 6 years to kill 60 million, okay, like 10 million a year, but that was with 1940s technology. We're in 2023, almost to be 2024. What do you think they got now? They've got all sorts of weapons that you don't even know about, okay? And this is what they want to start using to get rid of their aim is to get rid of people. That's it. It's quite simple. It's not, it's in their opinion, it's not wrong. What they're doing here is using the earth and saying we must save the planet. So they get everyone on board to save the planet with the public not realizing that they're actually the target. And then once they've gotten rid of people, and they're talking about 80%, that's quite a lot of people. You're talking like six billion people. Then they're going to rebirth the earth. That's basically what they want to try and do, like the new gods of the Garden of Eden. It's that's their solution to the growing population, is to just do a swift Maxwell silver hammer rather than wait for nature to kill it off. Because, you know, there's a good chance that nature may not. But still, we'll see what happens. Nature and the universe has always had a way of doing its thing, unencumbered for billions of years. We're sort of like a speck in that time frame. We're not really making any impression whatsoever. We could be gone tomorrow and the earth and the universe would have never noticed us. Save for that American flag on the moon, which that's still in doubt too. Anyway, but the idea is to try and stop that catastrophe from even unfolding. There's got to be a better way. Hey people, there's got to be a better way than just taking people out. Because basically the globalists, what they want to do is they're not asking you, can you leave the planet? They're telling you. So that's the difference now between the past when you had wars and nationalism and religion and everyone stood up for something and there was community and there was a purpose. Right now, the purpose is the actual survival of most of the people on the planet. That's the purpose now. So we're really one big family, if you want to look at it that way. We can't see ourselves as anything different than minions, or not even minions, but the plebs. There's the word. The plebs of the New World Order. Go and read Brave New World, people. That's how they put a caste system together that's accepted. Go and read 1984 to get the idea of the authoritarianism that will rule over that sort of society. And you pretty much got it in a nutshell. I mean, both those books, and you could throw in Soylent Green as well because it's relevant. And actually try and get hold of the novel Make Room, Make Room. That was the original novel that was written that Soylent Green was based on. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And I'm just saying, it's like sometimes fiction can end up being non-fiction simply because people make it that way. Anyway, okay, so moving on to the next minion in the COVID, the rats of COVID-19 and in Oz. So next head on the chopping block is Professor Paul Kelly. We call him a doctor then. And I'm going to start off with his Wikipedia. And it says, Paul M. Kelly is an Australian public health physician, epidemiologist and public servant who is the Chief Medical Officer of Australia. So I'll leave it at that. Remember, he assumed that position once Brennan Murphy did a runner, who used to be the Chief Medical Officer. Now I'm going to see if it, there's nothing about COVID. It says he's the Head of Australian Health Protection Principal Committee, and in that role, an advisor to the National Cabinet of Australia, created to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's it. That's it. Oh, wait on, there's something here. I just saw it. It's tiny, tiny Wikipedia, people. Not much in it at all. It's like he's not important. It says, In 2022, Kelly reportedly advised against instituting mandatory COVID-19 tests from travellers from China because he wanted them to come here. Didn't if they matter if they brought something with them because they'd already done that. So it says, though the advice was ignored in favour of adopting a policy more in line with other countries around the world, including the United States, France and the United Kingdom. So he was ignored. And the Chinese people coming into Australia, the travellers were checked for COVID-19, whatever that is. But he's got a tiny Wikipedia. So he sort of dodged a COVID bullet by having nothing in his Wikipedia except telling everyone to stop mandatory COVID-19 tests, except it's for the Chinese, because obviously there was fingers pointed at him from the other side of the world. And nobody listened to him, because that's what he is. He's the minion that stepped in for the other minion. So he's even less of a minion. He's a minimum minium. Now, moving on to the COVID-19 vaccination in Australia. So this gives you an idea of when it started. So you can see when all these minions came in. But the reason I'm mentioning him, because it's important to know when certain vaccines entered Australia first and who pushed those particular vaccines. So it says the TGA, which is the Therapeutic Goods Administration, approved four vaccines for Australian use in 2021. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine on the 25th of January, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine on the 16th of February, the Janssen vaccine on the 25th of June, and the Moderna vaccine on the 9th of August. So you can see the timeline there. It says, although approved for use, the Janssen vaccine was not included in the Australian vaccination program as of June 2021. So that faded away. It says, as of the 3rd of August 2022, Australia had administered 62.5 million vaccine doses. That's like three for everyone in Australia, people, across the country. The country's vaccination rollout initially faced criticism for its slow pace and late start, falling far below initial government targets. Despite this, Australia began vaccinating its citizens at a comparatively fast pace, overtaking the United States in the first dose coverage by the 10th of October 2021. Over 95% of the Australian population aged 12 and over are now fully vaccinated. What's fully vaccinated? It used to be one dose. That's what it was initially. Then it was, no, you're not fully vaccinated unless you've got two. Then it got up to three. What is fully vaccinated? I'll never get my head around that. Anyway, so it says, actually, I won't read on anymore. What I wanted to focus on was the AstraZeneca one. Okay, now that's the one that came from Britain, the Oxford AstraZeneca. It hit Australian shores, as it said, February. The Pfizer one was in January, but it was held back. We couldn't get the supply, so everyone dived in and promoted AstraZeneca. And that's what Dr. Paul Kelly did, or Professor Paul Kelly, or Minion Paul Kelly did way back then. So I'm going to focus on that, because this is what we want to know. We want to know, what is this guy known for, and what's he become? Because he's going to be the flagship of the next pandemic. There's no, the federal health minister, who is the federal health minister? Does anyone actually know? One sec. Sorry, people, it slipped my mind. It was Mark Butler. Just another minion that stepped into the shoes of the other one. I'm going to have a quick look. I don't want to delve into him because it's not the focus. We're focused on the COVID-19 rats of Oz that scurried off the ship. And actually, I didn't mention too either. I haven't mentioned that Palaszczuk, the ex-Queensland Premier, doesn't seem to have a job at the moment. She's still, it says that she's resigning as of now, but it doesn't say if there's anything on the horizon job-wise. So it's too soon to nail what she's up to yet, but I will report on it again, okay? Even though I'm mentioning them prematurely because they've only just quit, it's to show that they were the head of the state during the COVID-19 pandemic and need to be mentioned. It just took a little bit longer from the jump ship, but still, we'll see where she ends up to as well. Anyway, back to the Honourable Mark Butler. Let's see where he's come from, because I don't even think he's even got a wiki yet. I'm just seeing if I can find a Wikipedia on him. I mean, surely they must have written one up already. I'll just see if I can find it. One sec. There's not much on him, people. He's a career politician for Labor, Anthony Albanese's mate, and he's got the portfolio of health at the moment. I think he's in trouble because his wife just left a company that now the Labor government just gave a $24 million contract to, but that was back in May. I don't know if it's resolved. Doesn't seem to be much floating around there. He was given the portfolio of climate change at one stage, so he's just toeing the line. He's another Dominic Perrottet, where they just shove someone in the moment until the real person comes along to do the damage. So we'll have to wait and see. But to me, it's just hand the baton to him and he's just hanging on to it for someone else. That's how it looks. Now, back to the focus. Now, this guy is very... There's not much words for it, but he looks a bit like a pallbearer. He's just holding the reins as well. After Brendan Murphy left as chief medical officer, and now you've got him. But this article's from back in 2016, but it's just a profile. So it's from the 11th of August 2016, preventioncentre.org.au. It says, Deputy Director General of Population Health. Don't you love it? And Chief Health Officer. It's got, please describe your role. And it says, my role encompasses health improvement, disease prevention, health promotion, and health measurement. Basically, whatever is on my desk at the time. It's a perfect minion sort of answer, isn't it? I'm not going to read any more, actually, just it's because it's from that period. But I just thought I'd mention, I love this bit. My favorite holiday is something that includes dancing. Particularly, it involves good company. He says, most people don't know that I'm a keen Scottish country dancer. I've danced in multiple countries. I just can't believe this. Multiple countries around the world. You really just cannot judge a book by its cover, people. If you saw what he looked like, you would not imagine this guy bouncing around on the stage with a kilt on. But there it is. You just don't know what you're dealing with. But it sounds to me like he's a good yes man. The next story. Now, this is what I wanted to focus on. Because he's the guy that pushed AstraZeneca down people's throats. This is when the blood clots were hitting. And he said, no, there's no evidence. So this is from theguardian.com. And it came out on March 2021, 16th of March 2021. And it says, no evidence AstraZeneca vaccine causes blood clots, Australia's chief medical officer says. It says, Australia's chief medical officer, Professor Paul Kelly, says there is no evidence the AstraZeneca vaccine causes blood clots, declaring that the rollout would continue without delay, despite some European countries halting their programs while any potential link is investigated. So there you go. So I'm not going to read the rest of the article. You can see that he is full steam ahead. All right. This is when the rollout started for vaccines. So they bypassed Pfizer and they went straight for AstraZeneca. And it says, while CSL remains open to discussions about manufacture of alternative COVID-19 vaccines, resources are fully committed to the manufacture of the AstraZeneca vaccine. It says the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are mRNA vaccines, the latter of which is the only other vaccine approved for use in Australia by the TGA. And it says health authorities in countries including France, Italy, Netherlands and Norway have halted rollouts of the AstraZeneca vaccine. So that's that story. So here he is, and here this is what he says. He says, I would make it very clear that here in Australia, safety is our first priority. And in any large vaccine rollout, we do expect some unusual events, and we will monitor very closely and carefully for those. But this does not mean that an event that happens after vaccination has been given is indeed due to that vaccine, Kelly said. So we'll let that slide and we'll move on to the next story. This is a very interesting one. CSIS.org. It says a conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci and Professor Paul Kelly, March the 9th, 2021. And so I'm not going to go through it. It's got a transcript, but I'm just going to skip through to what I think. It's incredible, isn't it? Right off the bat, eh, people? You couldn't believe it, could you? Now, I just mentioned part of the conversation because it's quite long. I'm going to put all the links up when I put them all. I know I haven't put all the links to this up yet, but they'll all go up in a sort of part one to whatever stories, all right? And then they'll link them all together in the big giant COVID-19 class. So it says here, and it's just a three-way conversation between the interviewer and Fauci and Kelly. So I'm just going to go straight to what they've said here. It says, this is the interviewer talking to Paul Kelly now. It's about halfway through the conversation. She says, Paul Kelly, I want to turn back to you. So as you mentioned, the vaccine rollout in Australia is underway with the Pfizer, BioNTech and AstraZeneca products being rolled out now. There were some hiccups, I guess, in the process last week with Italy halting a shipment of the AstraZeneca vaccine. But as you said, plans for domestic production are getting underway this month, if I'm not mistaken. So, with so few COVID-19 cases historically and very few currently, how do you see the public really responding to the vaccine campaign? And I think you hinted at this earlier, but you know, do you think people will be comfortable going back to restaurants and offices and other places after having complied so completely with lockdowns and social distancing? In a way, you know, as Tony Fauci has said, you know, we really didn't do as much in the United States. How do you see that? Dr. Paul Kelly. Yeah, so the way that the Australian people have listened to the health advisor has been, I think, quite extraordinary. In my whole career, I would say I've never been in that situation where our epidemiologists and public health officials, wait for this people, public health officials have become rock stars on national television every day, standing up with the heads of government. That's right, standing up there and pointing and telling you what to do, people. And he's calling himself a rock star. Go and have a look at the guy. Anyway, I'm not going to read any more, but he's saying they're pushing AstraZeneca. But he's also saying here, we had a bit of a hiccup there for a while about whether Pfizer was better than AstraZeneca. But I think the real world experience now for the UK in particular has shown that that's not an issue. The blood clot started. He says, in the first 2 weeks, we've got 100,000 people for their first dose of the Pfizer vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine, starting with supplies from overseas. So this is where it all started, you see. This is when they got them both rolling neck and neck. And we saw what happened to AstraZeneca, didn't we, people? Now, I'm not going to go through the conversation because it's very long and I'll run out of time. But I just thought I'd whisk through this one. Because Professor Paul Kelly is at the helm at the moment. You've got Mark Butler, federal, and you've got Professor Kelly as his advisor just below him. Remember, Mark Butler's just a politician. He's not a doctor, people. And this guy's a professor, and he's a chief medical officer now. So they get titles, people. Okay, 16th March 2021, Chief Medical Officer Professor Paul Kelly's press conference. Okay, and this is on the Australian Government Department of Health site. So I can't go through the whole thing because it's a transcript and it's also very long, but it's also about AstraZeneca. It says, because he's being interviewed, and it's got the other element, this is the interview I wanted to talk about today, is there's been a lot of news around AstraZeneca vaccine and concerns. It says concerns in some parts of Europe, some countries in Europe who have suspended the rollout of AstraZeneca vaccine in those concern about blood clots. And so I just want to make it very clear that here in Australia, safety is our first priority. So that's actually him saying it, sorry. And in any large vaccine rollout, we do expect to see unusual events. It says, and we monitor very closely and carefully for those. But that, this does not mean that an event that happens after vaccination has been given is indeed due to the vaccine. So they're sort of cut and pasting everything in these articles about what he's saying. It says, so we do always take it seriously. We do investigate. But in the situation, I can absolutely say that I remain confident in the AstraZeneca vaccine. So there it is. And he said, and that's that it's safe. And there it is. This is what he says. He goes, I like this part. He goes, no evidence that it causes blood clots. No evidence that it causes blood clots. Blood clots happen. They happen in Australia fairly commonly. There's about 17,000 cases of blood clots in Australia every year. So we do expect to see blood clots at a time when vaccinations are given. He says, I do not see that there's any specific link between AstraZeneca vaccine and blood clots. So I'm not going to read any more because it goes on and on. He passes the buck and says the TGA told him and this one told him and that one told him. And this is it. So he's pushing it. Now the next one. This is so interesting. This is the Australian Financial Review, the AFR.com. This came out on the 8th of April, 2021. So not long after that of what he said. AstraZeneca vaccine only recommended for people over 50, Prime Minister. And it says, now this is not the full story, but I had to read that headline, people. It says, here's what we learned from Prime Minister Scott Morrison's snap press conference tonight. The Australian government has announced changes to the national vaccine rollout after advice from health authorities about the risk of blood clots. It now recommends that the AstraZeneca vaccine should only be offered to people aged over 50. So they're the ones that are going to get the blood clots. Just what an about face. I mean, really, people. I mean, that's a massive slap in the face for Paul Kelly, but why was he pushing it so hard? And then you've got yahoo.com, au.news.yahoo.com came out on, see if I can get the date on here, the 30th of July, 2021. Shock findings in COVID vaccine study of more than 1 million people. A new study of more than 1 million COVID-19 vaccine recipients has concluded a rare blood clotting side effect is likely to occur from a Pfizer jab as much maligned AstraZeneca vaccine. In a paper pre-released in The Lancet, researchers from the UK, Spain and the Netherlands both have said both jabs have a similar incident rate of thrombosis. I'm not going to read any more, people, but it's not, it's just, you know, well, what can I say? I mean, you know, suddenly Scott Morrison was worried about him getting kicked out. So he said, no, only they over 50s. We don't want to kill any more kids because that's what was happening. People that weren't old were actually dropping down. And it actually says here, it's got mixed messaging around the vaccine has led to hesitancy at a time when the nation, particularly New South Wales, needs to reach a high level of vaccination to fend off surging rates of the highly Delta variant. And it says, while Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly has repeatedly stressed the benefits of the AstraZeneca jab outweigh the risk, what of dying, there has been conflicting advice from other health authorities, notably Queensland's Chief Health Officer Dr. Jeanette Young. There's a reason she did that too, people. It's a very strong reason. But anyway, and it's got, when Prime Minister Scott Morrison urged under 40s to seek advice on the AstraZeneca jab last month, Dr. Young said she genuinely did not understand why Mr. Morrison would make such an announcement. It's just, I keep reading, this just gets like a massive can of worms. It's just where she actually says that, you know, she doesn't want to see kids dying unnecessarily from the jab. And there was a reason why she said it. People went, oh, that's really good of her to say that because she's trying to save lives. But at the same time, there was a reason she said it. I'm not going to get into it now. When we get to her profile, I'll let the cat out of the bag. But it's just amazing that they appear to be trying to help people. At the same time, they've actually got an ulterior motive. Now, the next story. Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly confirms there is no evidence to suggest Omicron is resistant to COVID-19 vaccines. He just can't shut up, can he? It's like a talking head that you just whack-a-mole. You can't get rid of him. He pops up in another hole and sticks his head up and has another yak. This is from skynews.com.au. Came out on November the 29th, 2021. So we're right in the middle of the pandemic now. It's got... Australia's chief medical officer has confirmed that there is currently no evidence to suggest that the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 is resistant to vaccines. Professor Paul Kelly told Sky News Australia health authorities were working around the clock to find out more about the new variant. Following the initial studies of Omicron, the chief medical officer confirmed that there was no reason to believe vaccines were less effective against the new variant. So it's great to read this stuff in hindsight, isn't it, people? But I'm not going to read any more. He is sticking by his guns again. His other gun's gone. His AstraZeneca gun's left the building, and now he's got the Omicron gun. And he's trying to fire that up. See if I can find the part. One sec. Here it is, people. This is the sort of thing they were saying when they said, if you get vaccinated, you won't transmit it. Here we go. This is poor Dr. Paul Kelly, professor, whatever his name is. He says, in terms of transmissibility, it definitely does transmit between people. Okay, this is the Omicron. So in other words, everything they said, get the jab, do this, get one jab, you'll be fine. No, get two, no, get three, no, get four. Everything they said was a lie. Every single thing. Okay. In fact, if they'd have just let people use their immune system, we would have knocked this on the head way before 6 million people died. Okay, it's just that the world went into this crazy, if you don't get the jab, you'll die. And it was an absolute fallacy. And now people are getting sick from the jab and continuing to take it. And people aren't listening to them anymore, but they're treating it like a flu. It's not really a flu even, people. It's just got the same severity now. That's what's happened. It's mutated away from what they said it was, but it was probably always like that. Most people I know that have caught it, it goes away. You know what I mean? It's not that severe as people think it is. It's just like an elderly person gets it. If they get the flu, they can die. It's the same thing. So they reckon it was coming and we had to do this for everybody. And now it looks like they've made their bucks and they've got people sick. And we're now compliant with QR coding. I think mission accomplished for them in that respect. But now we're going to dig out these minions and find out who were the yes men we were all the way through. Because basically this could happen again, people. We need to be very much aware of who's in power at the time when something starts up like this. And they almost tried to kickstart another one very recently too when they said China had a new virus. China was quick to say, no, it's just a flu. It's like, what's going on here, people? The New World Order is starting to fall apart. It can't even keep those things together. Anyway, moving on to the next story. So I've got to get through these quick because there's quite a lot on him. It's got Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. Slight increase in blood clot risk. Really? This is from medicalnewstoday.com and it came out on June the 15th, 2021. So actually we've just gone back 6 months. So I'll have to be careful because some of this stuff's back and forwards. But that's all right. The time frames are relative. It says a recent study analysed Scotland's national cohort of 2.5 million adults who received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine to determine the association of blood clotting and low blood platelets counts with vaccines. And it says out of the cohort, 1.7 million people received the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and 0.8 million received the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine between December 2020, and April 2021. The study did not include the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. So it says the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine was given emergency use authorization by the Food and Drug Administration in December 2020. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine received conditional marketing authorization from the European Medicines Agency in January 2021. So let's go to conclusions because this is like a medical report and I'll see if it says it. If it gets down to conclusions, because that's really all I'm interested in here. And it seems like this is going to go on forever. Actually, this is a news site. It's not really a medical site. And I thought it would have conclusions. But still, the headline says it all. Slight increase in blood clot risk. Moving on to the next story. This is Kelly pushing the AstraZeneca. This is what happened at the beginning, Kylie. And it says here, what has he got here? Now, there's one from the AustralianFinancialReview.com. Now, you have to subscribe to get the full article, so I'm not going to read it, but it just says, we are at the start of this wave, not the end, Kelly. And then I've got a Facebook one, which actually has the video, so I will put it up, where he says it. And then there's actually a transcript from SkyNews.com, where it says, July the 19th, 2022, and this is from skynews.com.au. Chief Medical Officer Professor Paul Kelly says, we are at the start of the COVID wave, not the end. It says, what happens in the future really very much depends on what we do today, he said at a media conference on Tuesday afternoon, and what we've done in the last 2 weeks, the increase in vaccination, the increase in protections in aged care, the increase in mask use, the increase in choices that people are making. I'm glad that they've got choices now. And it says, not to say this is an individual responsibility, but it's combined community effort and we need to put in place for the next few weeks. So he's telling people to get back to it. And this was back in 2022, so more than a year and a half. But that's all right. He's not changing his stance, even though he's wrong in every aspect as it moves along. And the headline for that one too, by the way, on that particular video, people, is the TGA approves Moderna for under 5-year-olds. That's right. They jabbed up all the little kids as well with no recourse. Okay, next story. It's Paul Kelly says blood clots linked to AstraZeneca vaccine, an extremely rare event. So he's had to admit that it's happened. Now, that's a video. I'm not playing it. It's got a not a transcript, but it just says, Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly says the AstraZeneca vaccine is extremely effective and very safe after the EU regulator makes a possible link between the jab and blood clots. He's looking like a bit of a clot, isn't he, people? And here comes the collateral damage. This was a pretty big case when it came out. It says Jack Last, that's the person. Coroner rules blood clot death was direct result of AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, December 13th, 2022. And that's from ITV.com. A coroner has ruled that a fit and healthy man died from bleeding on the brain, which was a direct result of his body's reaction to the AstraZeneca COVID jab. The inquest has heard how Jack Last, 27, died on the 20th of April last year, 3 weeks after having the vaccine. So this is all to do with the batch numbers, people, what they give you, who dies, who lives. And that's it. So basically, if the jab never worked and it didn't kill you, the COVID and just passed you by. And if you caught it, you became immune from your own body response. So that's the reality, in my opinion, what has been happening. If they never gave you the jab, probably 6 million people wouldn't have died. And they're just telling you that they would have been more if you didn't do it. How would you know? Anyway, so direct link now. We're moving on. And this is from I'm just seeing what this is. It's a vaccine safety report from the 15th of December 2022, tga.gov.au. And it's saying, I'm seeing if we got it here, because it's probably going to say something about the AstraZeneca one. And it's saying, I'm just looking for the blood clots. They've got all four of them here, but I don't want to go into this whole article. I just want to find out what it says about reported side effects. It says the most frequently reported side effects suspected to be associated with the vaccine includes headache, joint pain. They recognize side effects of the vaccination. And it says, let's see if I can find where it actually tells the truth. Where is it? It's incredible. Reports of death in people who have been vaccinated. Vaccines can lead to death in extremely rare instances. However, most deaths that occur after vaccination are not caused by the vaccine. You can't believe this, TGA. It's just going to tell you that the 14 deaths likely to be related to the vaccine occurred in people aged 21 to 81 years old. There have been no deaths in children or adolescents determined to be linked to the COVID-19 vaccination. So 14 deaths definitely linked. But they're saying out of 64 million doses. That's not 64 million people. But still, eventually the truth will come out, people. But at the moment, they are covering it right up as much as they can because there's too much money to be made out of these vaccines. It's a massive cash cow for all these very rich globalists that put, you know, shares in these things, and they need results. So you're not going to get the truth till a lot of people have died, and then that'll be the proof. That's how we'll know. Anyway, so I just thought I'd mention that I'll put all this stuff up, all of it. I'm just seeing if there is something in here, but it's not. It's saying that myocarditis is a known but very rare side effect from the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, and it's got thrombosis is a very rare but serious side effect of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Notice they all changed their names too, so you couldn't track what they were. You've got AstraZeneca changed its names to Vaxzevria. Can't even say it. Pfizer changed their name to Cormity, and Moderna changed their name to Spikevax. It's laughable, people. It's laughable. Anyway, it doesn't say anything about the blood clots and all that from the TGA, but I'm not surprised, people. Now, this next one's very interesting because there's a conversation between the Federal Health Minister Mark Butler now and Professor Paul Kelly. And it says, I'll see if I can get the date, because I don't think he's the Federal Health Minister yet, Paul Kelly. I think he's, just says Minister Mark Butler and Paul Kelly. So it's 19th of July, 2022. So no, he's not the Federal Health Minister just yet, but they've had a talk. So they're obviously on talking terms, 19th of July, 2022, health.gov.au. And I'm just going to flick down to where he gets interviewed, because it's a very long transcript. And it's got Paul Kelly, Chief Medical Officer. And he's got, thank you, Minister. And as the Minister has said, there is a statement that's been released under my name today, which is really summarises the advice I've given to Minister Butler. So this is where he gives the Minister a serving. And also his colleagues and other health ministers around Australia and the National Cabinet on Saturday, charting out what I believe is happening in Australia at the moment and what is likely to happen over the next month or 6 weeks. Essentially, my message today is that there is a new variant of COVID-19. It is circulating in the community and it poses a significant new threat. The reason for that is because it's much more infectious than the earlier variants, that is the BA5 variant and the BA4 to a certain extent. And it's also very good at escaping immunity. Healthy excuses, people. Whether that is from the previous infection, so more jabs does nothing. So you can get reinfected with this and with this particular variant, or from vaccination. So whilst vaccination, as the Minister has said, continues to offer very good protection against severe disease and death, they're running out of excuses, people. And I would reiterate what the Minister said. Absolutely, to go and get that third dose if you're due. That's what this article's up to, the third dose. Or get that fourth dose if you're now eligible, he says. He says, but those vaccinations do not stop the transmission of the virus. And this variant is unusual in that case. Probably been doing that from day one, but they're just telling you it's doing it now after people have been after the third and fourth and it still doesn't work. They just blame a new variant, people. That's all they're doing. They just make it up as they go along. You know, give it a new name, tell it what it can and can't do, and then tell you what you should do. And it's just insane, people. It's really insane what is happening here. And it says here, the journalist says, for the jab, does it need to be mandated? And this is the Minister Butler. That it's not the advice that was issued by the Chief Health Officer last week. But this is a journalist. But we're talking about protecting the vulnerable. Butler says, I'll deal with the aged care question first. You're right that over recent months there's been a mix of reliance on the department surge workforce. What's that? Which is where nurses and personal care workers are contracted or engaged by the department to be provided to aged care facilities who need them. This is because they were running out of people. They couldn't get enough people to work. Most of them weren't allowed to travel or even work when the pandemic happened. So you can imagine all the elderly people in aged care centres were suffering terribly and they weren't allowed to see anyone. So it's not surprising that most of the people that died in the pandemic were elderly people. Is it, people? But they'll say, oh, but they were old. That's why they died. No, they were rushed into being dead. That's what happened. That's the reality of this situation. Now, that goes on and on and on. I don't really see, I'm not going to go through the whole transcript, but it's actually another transcript where he rattles on with the now federal health minister. So the balls are in place, people, ready to roll. Next story. Getting more up to date now. July the 19th, 2022, it says, we are at the start of this wave, not the end. Paul Kelly. There he goes again. Professor Paul Kelly says the current COVID-19 wave is just beginning with 5,000 hospitalizations already. We can predict reasonably well up to 4 weeks from now, Kelly says, and in every state and territory, the number of cases according to those predictions are continuing to rise. What a fearmonger of people. Unbelievable. Next story. That was also the Australian Financial Review, and it was only a sub sort of a snippet because you have to join, and I will not join them. Next story is from theage.com.au, and it's got, come in, Kelly, strange case of the missing chief medical officer. September the 28th, 2022. Got a great picture of this guy with a giant cloth mask over his face. It says, there was a time in the depths of the pandemic when the nation's chief medical officer, Paul Kelly, was a hard man to avoid, regularly helping front the many press conferences held by former PM Scott Morrison and his health minister, Greg Hunt. But that was then. These days, Kelly seems decidedly out of fashion with Anthony Albanese's government and its health minister, Mark Butler. So we're getting up to date, people. Kelly hasn't held a press conference or done any media since July. Could it be because Kelly and some of the state's health supremos were less than fulsome in their support of some recent political decisions on pandemic management, particularly, National Cabinet shortening the mandatory isolation period from 7 days to 5, Albanese has refused to make public any health advice underpinning the effort. And 8 days later, the Australian Health Protection Principal Committee, chaired by Kelly, quietly published a statement on the Health Department website urging people to keep isolating as long as they had symptoms. We asked Butler if the nation was going to see its chief health officer in the press conference after the National Cabinet meeting again on Friday, and he told us to ask the Prime Minister. We asked Albanese's people as well, as putting our request into the Health Department for an interview with Kelly. When we hear from anybody, or if there is a sighting of the chief medical officer, we'll let you know. Let's see if he got death threats, people. I'm wondering if anyone even noticed the guy. I mean, I remember him rattling on during the pandemic, but I don't think anyone took any notice of the guy. He had such a strange look about him, didn't he, people? Must have been in the eyes. Just as I thought, people. Completely ignored. Nothing in the search shows any death threats against that guy at all. He probably did get something, but they didn't report it as headlines anywhere. But still, he's not gone. You see, that's what I'm saying. He's now the guy on top in charge. So when the next pandemic comes, as Bill Gates said it will, then we'll see how well he fares from that. So as I mentioned earlier, Palaszczuk has finished her political career and cut her own political career short for obvious reasons I stated earlier. But we don't know what job she's gone for. It's the same with Kelly. He's in the top job, so there's no point in even worrying about where he's going, because we know that he's been elevated, been given a bag of gold and moved up the ladder. So I thought I might have had time to do Professor John Skerrick, who's the head of the TGA, but it looks like I'm virtually out of time. So that was a long one. I shouldn't stay so long on each character, but I thought Kelly's was more important at the moment because he's still there. He hasn't actually gone, so he hasn't actually ran from the sinking ship. He's probably one of the last on the COVID Titanic at this stage, and we'll have to just keep an eye on him and see what happens in the near future, because the pandemic number two is probably just around the corner, people. Okay, just to end the podcast, this is a massive smoking gun. It just goes to show you that it wasn't just China pushing a virus onto the world, but it was also controlled through the American government as well. This is very dangerous stuff, people. This is what whistleblowers, who are now completely demonized, are facing. And they're still coming out, and there's one here. It says, CIA bribed its own COVID-19 origin team to reject lab leak theory, anonymous whistleblower claims. It says the agency denies the allegation as congressional panel demands information from the CIA probe into the pandemic's start. 12th of September 2023, science.org. It says an unnamed CIA whistleblower has made the dramatic allegation that six analysts there were bribed to reject the theory that COVID-19 resulted from a research-related leak of a new coronavirus, according to a press release today from the Office of the Republican leading a congressional investigation into the pandemic. The allegation was strongly rejected in a CIA statement released hours later. A majority of the US intelligence agencies have so far concluded that the COVID-19 pandemic most likely started when SARS-CoV-2 jumped from an infected animal host into people. A wildlife market in Wuhan, China, has received intense attention from the researchers as a potential source, but the Department of Energy and FBI so far have favoured the so-called lab leak hypothesis, even though none of the agencies has expressed high confidence in their conclusions on COVID-19's origin. The CIA, for example, has reportedly said it was unable to determine whether SARS-CoV-2 made a direct jump from animals to humans or came from a lab. Now, Representative Brad Wenstrup, who chairs the House of Representatives Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, says his panel and the House's Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence have heard testimony from a whistleblower who presents as a highly credible senior level CIA officer. According to the press release, the whistleblower testified that only the most senior analyst of a seven-member CIA team investigating the origin of COVID-19 supported the zoonotic transmission theory. The whistleblower alleged that the other six team members supporting the lab origin then received a significant monetary incentive to change their position, wrote Winstrup, and Representative Mike Turner, who chairs the intelligence panel. It says, in response to emailed questions from science, CIA Director of Public Affairs Tammy Kupperman Thorpe challenged the whistleblower's account. At CIA, we are committed to the highest standards of analytic rigor, integrity, and objectivity. We do not pay analysts to reach specific conclusions. They're going to have to wait and see if this is true, because if it is, it's a massive can of worms, people. It means they would bribe their own teams to convince people it was from a market and not directly from China's lab, which was funded by Anthony Fauci in the US. It's just, you can't make this stuff up, people. Sky News Australia says, November the 28th, 2023, so they got it a bit later, a whistleblower has come forward to claim CIA analysts, who favoured the COVID-19 lab leak theory were bribed to change their position. And then you've got on YouTube, none of this has been kicked off yet, it's Sky News Australia, so that's the actual video. I'll put all this stuff up. It says, whistleblower claims CIA analysts bribed to change position on COVID lab leak theory. And it says the bribe was made to take the focus off China and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Sky News host Shari Markson has also revealed how a U.S. intelligence officer linked to the World Health Organization was involved in downplaying the lab leak theory during President Joe Biden's probe into the virus origins. The National Intelligence Council Director for Global Health Security, looks like Adrienne Keane, worked as an independent consultant for the WHO from 2016. Former Acting Assistant Secretary of State Thomas DeNano said that Ms. Keane tried to push COVID-19, that it was a natural occurrence rather than a lab leak. I found out that apparently she was an outside advisor also to the World Health Agency. They are a political agency. They are a UN agency, Mr. DeNano said. It's just not appropriate to do work for a foreign power and then you would include it in the United Nations. Ms. Keane and the ODNI, the peak intelligence body in the US, didn't answer questions about whether she had disclosed the conflict of interest. The ODNI instead sent a statement saying that they had complied with all of the intelligence community's analytic standards, including objectivity. And then you go into the comments, people. Everyone in this conspiracy must be arrested and jailed for life. And it's got, the COVID pandemic started in Wuhan and at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where they are doing gain-of-function research on COVID, is also located in Wuhan. We cannot draw conclusions from these facts alone, but it's truly a remarkable coincidence. And another one. Of course it came from the lab. another one. Not surprised. We know it was designed intentionally. These are all comments on YouTube on Sky News Australia. So I'm not going to read them all, but you can see that people are not stupid. We've seen enough Netflix shows that were terrible to know if the script's good or not. And in this case, it's terrible. Anyway, it probably will end up as a Netflix TV series with Anthony Fauci in there and Bill Gates. And who knows, people? Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing at all. Anyway, people, I'm at the end of the podcast. I'll catch you all next week and we'll continue with the COVID of Rats of Oz as I get closer to getting the whole class of COVID-19 together and putting it up and sticking it on the widget bar for everyone to see as long as they like. Let's not let the news hide the truth, people. Let's bring it out in the open and flaunt it around and name and shame. And let's hope this never happens again, because if it does, we're not going to be in such a position to be able to report on it like this, because I probably won't be here anymore, because they'll shift me off to the detention centre, won't they, people? That's what they're going to do to anyone that starts talking about this stuff if another pandemic comes. It's going to be far, far more severe. Okay, people, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Wednesday, the 20th of December, 2023. Thanks for listening. Over and out.